Welcome to Just a Minute. Yes. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners to this show, but also to welcome the four exciting and intrepid players of the game. Two outstanding comedians of the present generation, Paul Merton and Arthur Smith. Two outstanding comedians of a previous generation, Peter Jones and Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who's going to help me keep the score and also help me with a stopwatch and blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four players of the game to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful little library theatre, right in the centre of the marvellous, cultural, wonderful city of Manchester. And we have a... And we are part of a festival here in Manchester called Music Live, and we are delighted because we haven't any music on the show. We're going to start the show with a subject which will ring echoes to anybody from Manchester and any television fans. The subject is the street. Paul Merton, will you take that subject and start the show, starting now?
I remember an episode of Coronation Street from about 1963 when poor Martha Longhurst, in the snug... collapsed, I think it was on New Year's Eve or possibly Christmas Day, round about that time, and it was the first death in a soap opera, and one minute she was sipping her milk stout, the next thing her head was impaled on the ashtray, there was dry roasted peanuts flying everywhere. Len Faircuff came over, I remember, with a rather concerned look at...
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetitions, remember.
Oh, what a pity. We were enjoying it, weren't we? It was lovely, yes, but he repeated a word, so that is not allowed in Just a Minute. And 32 seconds are still available. You get a point, Clement, for a correct challenge. You take over the subject, which is the street, starting now.
I remember Irma Ogden, of whom I was tremendously fond.
challenged.
Frond.
Well, inform the listeners of what he should have said.
Fond, presumably.
Well, actually, what is your challenge, then?
Oh, well, deviation from the English language.
Oh.
Frond.
Oh, right. It. I didn't hear that, actually. I was so fascinated by Clement having a relationship with her.
You weren't listening.
Well, I've...
They were listening in India and China.
Well, I mean,
and they're not paid to do that.
I have only just arrived in the library theatre here, you know. It's a new show, we've got a new audience. So, all right, Paul, 21 seconds, the street, starting now.
I was very fond of Florrie Linley, who used to have a corner shop.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Well, he's doing what he complained about Clement doing.
Yes, so what are you accusing him of?
Deviation.
Of what?
And imitation.
That's not one of the challenges. All right, Peter, benefit of the doubt to you. You have the subject and a point for a correct challenge, and 23 seconds available. The street, starting now.
I happen to be in the Granada studios on the very day.
Paul Merton challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
He hasn't said frond.
But he was interrupted with an incorrect challenge, so he gets another point. And 19 seconds, Peter, starting now.
They were recording the very first episode of Coronation Street. I was in a rather serious drama in an accompanying room, but nobody took an...
Arthur Smith challenge.
I think there was a hesitation, accompanying.
No, I think he was keeping going.
Oh, come off it.
No, you haven't won this audience over yet, Arthur.
I love Manchester.
Yeah. No, it's nice to hear from you in the first round, because everybody's spoken, but I disagree with the challenge. Peter has a lot.
Don't patronise me like that.
I'm not. I'm just saying it's nice. It is. It's a very genuine, heartfelt statement. It's lovely to hear from every member.
I love you. Kiss me.
After the show. No, I take that back immediately. I just looked at it. Right, there we are. Peter, you have an incorrect challenge. Another point. You have the street, and there are 10 seconds left, starting now.
Nobody paid a great deal of attention to the very highfalutin drama that I was taking part in.
Mm. Now, Arthur Smith Chalmers.
Repetition of drama.
Yes, you did say drama before.
Did
Peter.
I?
Yes, and so Arthur has cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go on the subject. The street, starting now.
I live in Frond Street.
Whoever is speaking, when the whistle goes, gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Arthur Smith who has 2 points, and Peter Jones has 3 points, and the other two have 1 point. Isn't it exciting? Right, Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject, the hair of the dog. Will you tell us something about that expression in this game, starting now?
The hair of the dog is really a homeopathic remedy for a hangover. And it was invented by, I think, Dr. Hahnemann or Horniman or something like that in Germany in the last century, when he suggested that it might help if somebody took a very tiny milligram of some medicine, which would, when the person was...
Oh, it's a tough game. It's the agony of watching the face trying to get round the words and change direction. Paul, you challenge first. 35 seconds, the hair of the dog, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons is wearing a toupee made from the fur of a fox terrier. So in many senses, he has actually got on his head the hair of the dog. It's rather unfortunate when you go out walking with Nicholas, because if he bows...
Clement, for a challenge.
To Nicolai.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know, you can have too much of Nicholas in this. Anyway, what outrageous nonsense. 21 seconds, a correct challenge, Clement, and a point, of course, for that. The hair of the dog, starting now.
I thought the expression was a hair of the dog, because the hair of the dog seems to be totally meaningless. But as Peter Jones so very rightly said, it is tremendously useful if you had a hangover to repeat what you drank on the previous evening, thereby giving your body...
Arthur Smith challenged.
Well, I think that's deviation, because you only have one drink, don't you, for the hair of the dog. Like, if you've had 7 pints the previous night, and you get up the next morning and have another 7 pints, that's not doing you any good at all.
I would quite agree, but Clement didn't convey to me that that's what he expected you to do, actually.
Well, he did. He said if you eat and eat, drink an equal amount, I think
no,
is
I didn't.
The phrase.
No.
Yes,
I
he
don't
did.
Think he said that.
I don't
I think,
think
he did.
Did.
No, I didn't hear that.
Just me then, eh?
But for purposes of comedy, I'm willing to agree with you, Arthur.
Well, they struggle, and it's good. I love them to be keen, but, of course, I must explain that I'm in the centre here, and they've got two either side, and Arthur was furthest away from Clement, and so I don't think he heard him. And, oh, Clement, you've been very lucky. There's only half a second to go. Incorrect challenge. The hair of the dog starting now.
Jackson.
Clement Foy got the point for speaking as the whistle went. He's now equal with Peter Jones in the lead, and then come Paul Merton and Arthur Smith together. In second place, 1 point behind. Arthur, it is your turn to begin, and the subject is a red rose. There are 60 seconds, starting now.
My love is like a red rose that's newly sprung in June. It's a beautiful poem by Robbie Burns and sung by Kenneth McKellar most exquisitely. It is also the symbol of Lancashire, most beautiful and profound of old counties around the north of England. I am here in that very self-same department of Britain at the moment. And what joy and pleasure it brings to me to be amongst such noble bunch of people with... please stop me.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Well, he just rabbited on.
And he came to a full stop.
Full stop, yes, that's that right. Was the word, yes.
And that is hesitation in just a minute.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm glad you've cottoned on to it so quickly, Peter. Because you have a correct challenge at last.
Good.
And 25 seconds are available for you on a red rose, starting now.
Usually it is a sign of affection. A dozen red roses is a sign of something rather stronger.
Clement for a challenge.
Repetition of signs.
There were too many signs there, I'm afraid.
There
is. Yes, Clement has another point, and he has now a red rose, and 11 seconds available, starting now.
Quite a long way from Main Road, there is a football club called Old Trafford, which...
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation. The football club's not called Old Trafford. The ground is called
Old Trafford. The ground is called Old Trafford. So well listened, and you've got in cleverly, Paul, with 7 seconds to go on a red rose starting now.
Instead of buying red roses, I much prefer to purchase...
Arthur Smith.
I thought there was a little pulse there, didn't you?
No.
Yes, see? Yes, they're on my side now.
There was a little something.
There was a little something, but he kept going. He stumbled a little, but he didn't actually pause.
I thought you normally like to ask the audience, and clearly they're only, on my side only, in this case.
Only when I have one of those situations on which it is impossible to judge, and on this one I think I can judge, I didn't think
I'm
it was...
I'm calling my solicitor.
3 seconds available for a red rose with you, Paul, starting now.
I suppose if you were to look for the ultimate romantic...
We have an interesting situation in just a minute. Paul Merton speaking as Whistle went again, that extra point. He's moved forward, but he's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud, Peter Jones. They're all equal there. And Arthur Smith is only a point behind. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is a phrase, a right carry-on. Tell us something about that in just a minute, if you can, starting now.
The very first carry-on film was made around about 1957. It was called Carry On Sergeant. At the time, it was just a simple barrack room comedy that nobody thought would ever produce a whole series of movies after it. The one after that that really took the box office by storm was one that was called Carry On Matron, I think, which starred Hattie Jakes and had that marvellous moment in it where Will...
Arthur Smith challenged.
Well, it's a little bit boring.
Yeah, but it's factual. He hasn't hesitated.
I know. I just wanted to stop him for a bit.
Well, he's quite right, because there are another 27 films to go. I think it's a kindness.
I know, but as you didn't commit any of the crimes or faults of just a minute to contravene the rules, shall we say, 38 seconds are still available for you to... All right, carry on, Paul, starting now.
One of my favourite lines in any of those particular pieces of entertainment is in Carry On Regardless, where Charles Hawtrey goes to a strip club thinking he's going to an ornithological meeting, and he says to the guy, played by Sidney Taffer, he says, do you have any blue tits? He says, no, mate, we've got central eating. That was considered... A very risque line in 1963, and indeed...
Clement, you challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
19.
1957 or 53 before. Yes, Carry On Regardless. The Carry On film in which I appeared as well. Did you know that?
Which one were you in, Nicholas?
Carry On Regardless.
Oh, yes, you were, weren't you?
That's right, yes. That's
what
right.
did you play, Nicholas?
I repaid a wine expert, a wine connoisseur, and Joan Sims poured 2 bottles of wine all over me and she got smashed out of her mind. Everybody enjoyed it so much. This is going terribly well, isn't it? Clement, you have a correct challenge. The subject is a right carry-on. There are 16 seconds left, starting now.
The opposite of a right carry-on would be a left carry-on, where you turn toward...
Arthur Smith, challenge.
I think it would be the opposite would be a wrong carry-on.
Well, I think it depends the way in which you look.
Or a wrong carry-off.
I think it could be any of those things, so Clement has not actually deviated, so he keeps the subject on another point. Of course, 11 seconds, Clement, all right, carry on, starting now.
In Australia, instead of having takeaways, they have carry-outs, often known as carry-ons, even carry-offs. And I'd like to say this because...
Clement Freud speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and others in the round, so he's moved forward, and he's just in the lead. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is my favourite invention. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
My favourite invention is the radio. I think it's just miraculous to think that that little Italian, who had no advantages, he wasn't even English, and he managed to invent this. And it was put on the map once and for all when it was used as a device to arrest Dr. Crippen, the murderer, whom I always admired enormously. And I was very sorry that he got his desserts, as they say, with his girlfriend, who was dressed as a man, on the HMS Montrose, I think it was. And he was then brought back to justice. But he was... immortalized in Madame Tussauds. And I've seen his effigy there, and I didn't think it was really awfully good. I must say...
P. Jones took the subject of my favourite invention and kept going until the bitter end for 60 seconds of hesitation, repetition and deviation, with a little bit of encouragement from the other three members of the panel here. But he did it in such style the audience really enjoyed it. He not only gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, he gains a bonus point for not being interrupted, and he's now gone back into lead, one ahead of Clement Freud, two ahead of Paul Merton and then Arthur Smith. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, hot pot. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Hot pot is a Lancashire delicacy containing no specific ingredients, but therefore named after the vessel in which it is cooked. I would recommend that meat, onion and potatoes in some sort of sauce flavoured with spice and herb is the normal ingredient, and yet one can make a fair argument.
Arthur Smith challenged.
I think he paused there.
I think he did too, Arthur, so let's have something of you on a hot pot with 35 seconds to do it, starting now.
What interests me about the phrase hot pot is that both the words rhyme with each other, just as dog nog, or wee big.
Paul challenged.
Or num bum.
So what is your challenge?
No, it wasn't a challenge. I was just adding to the general flavour.
All right, give him a point then. And Arthur gets a point for being interrupted, and he has 26 seconds on hot pot starting now.
Or indeed, num bum. Also,
Paul challenged.
I knew he was going to say that.
So we were interrupted again, Arthur. Another point, 23 seconds, hot pot starting now.
Or indeed,
repetition of all.
Yeah. Indeed. Right. Clement, 23 seconds for you with hot pot starting now.
In France, it is called le haut pot because the final letters are not pronounced in that language of our allies in the European Union, whom so few of us get on with better than we need. I have had hot pot in Burnley, Bolton, Manchester City, as well as United.
Clement Freud started with his hot pot, he lost his hot pot, he got his hot pot back again, and kept going with his hot pot until the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. And with the other points, he has moved forward. He's now equal in the lead with Paul Merton, followed now by Arthur Smith, who must have got a lot of points on hot pot, I didn't realise that, and Peter Jones, who's now in fourth place, but there's very few points between them all. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The spinning jenny. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Well, it was a machine that was invented during the Industrial Revolution. It's a rather curious contraption. It's a cross between a donut and a Volkswagen. And what happens is the driver has to get into where the steering wheel is, and the person next to them have to make donuts, and from that you get very fine cotton, and that's where a lot of...
Arthur's no challenge.
There's double donuts.
Yes, there was donuts, came out more than once.
Nice donuts and then donut.
You did. You're quite right, Paul. I'm glad
you
listened.
Yeah, but earlier on, Clement challenged on 19, when it was 1963 and 1938.
1957, actually.
I've lost the will to live.
I'm just proving that I not only listen, but it's my job to listen, and it was. And he did repeat the word 19, so he was entitled to have the challenge. On this occasion, he didn't have it
but
right.
But that was part of... Oh, never mind.
Paul very cleverly listened to himself and realised that he said...
I find it helps in life. I think he was alone.
Oh, they're all so bright, aren't they? Paul, you still have the subject. You have a point for an incorrect challenge. Spinning Jenny's with you, starting now.
There was an old woman who used to live in my village that people used to say was a witch. Her name was Jenny, and if you ever saw her spinning in the high street, you knew there was going to be a piece of bad luck that was going to happen to somebody somewhere along the line.
Clement Freud challenge.
A deviation.
Why?
Spinning Jenny was not Industrial Revolution. It was much earlier.
Well... I think he's totally incorrect because, I mean, certainly it wasn't before. It could have been later, but I believe it was during the Industrial Revolution. But we'll get letters about that. And Arthur Smith Charles.
I'm still worried about this donut business.
How Spinning Jenny could have produced donuts, but you don't know what her private life was like.
No, I still feel badly wronged by this. And no, I'm a little bit upset, to be honest.
Well, you don't show it, Arthur. You're a great sport.
I'm crying inside, Nicholas.
You see, it's about 4 years since Arthur was last on Just a Minute. And we don't want him to go on bearing a grudge for another 4 years.
So I disagree with Clement's challenge.
What do you think James Hargrave's Blackburn invention in the 18th century was part of
the
industrial...
All right, I'll put it to the audience then. If you think that the spinning jenny was not a part of the Industrial Revolution, then you cheer for Clement Freud.
Hooray.
And if you think it was, you boo for Clement Freud. And you all do it together now.
Hooray!
It was not part of the Industrial Revolution. And so, Clement, you have 35 seconds on spinning jenny starting now.
The result of the spinning...
Yes.
Hesitation.
Yes. You've got it back, spinning jenny with you, and it is 31 seconds starting now.
Always going to be bad luck for somebody. The woman at number 54, I remember, got very...
Clement Challenge.
We've had a woman before.
You've had a woman before.
Before the show.
I'm sure a lot of us have had a woman before, but on this occasion, he's spoken about it before. 27 seconds with you, Clement. Spinning jenny starting now.
An awful lot of people in Lancashire lost their jobs as a result of the spinning jenny, because instead of... person after people pushing a thread.
No, he was himself. Yeah, that's right, yes. Are you two having the game by yourself now? 16 seconds, spinning jenny with you, Paul, starting now.
And so the old... now, well, I didn't mention woman. Or donuts. What could possibly be the challenge?
That O went on for about 3 or 4 seconds. So...
This is the Manchester Music Festival I was warming up for an aria.
Oh, Solomon. But you could talk like that.
Exactly.
Well, Kenneth Williams made a feature of it, didn't he? He only actually used one word and rather drawn out, so I think it would be very unfair to penalise him on one word. If he'd drawn out longer than that, I think you've been right, Arthur. So, Paul, you continue with 14 seconds. Spinning jenny starting now.
About 5 years ago, I went to my grandfather's house and I said to him, can I have a look in your attic? And he said, of course. So I climbed up the stairs, poked my head up through the trapdoor, and there was the most marvellous...
Well, Paul Merton not only was speaking as a whistle wind, got that extra point for doing so, but also got many points in that round and has leapt forward. And the other three are all almost equal together in second place. Peter Jones. Well, they're not exactly equal. Do you want to know exactly how they stand?
No.
You couldn't care less, could you? Without... All right, Clement Freud and Peter Jones are actually equal in second place, but only one point behind them is Arthur Smith. So, Peter, I think that we're moving into the final round because you created so much, all of you, so much amusement and merriment at this particular edition of Just a Minute from the Library Theatre in Manchester. I mention that because we're so happy to be here. And the subject is The Man on the Clapham Omnibus. I'm sure it's a subject close to your heart. Would you talk on it, starting now?
Well, it means the man in the street, and it was invented in the latter part of the last century. And I think it's awfully patronising and unpleasant and snobbish, because it isn't just that the man is on an omnibus. It is that he isn't in a taxi or even in a hansom cab. And he lives in Clapham, which at that time was not at all a smart area to reside. Now, this... really places the man...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
I'm afraid there was, Peter, yes. The man on the Clapham Omnibus, Clement, starting now.
The privatisation of the public transport system resulted in so many bus companies coming into existence that there is now only one man on the Clapham Omnibus, which shows what total lunacy it was on the part of the government not to realise that... buses and trams and trolleys and trains should belong to the country so that they can...
And Arthur's most challenged.
Well, yes. Well, I need not say, need I?
No, but I'd like to hear you say it in case there's some other bizarre idea you
no,
have.
No, it was just hesitation.
It was definitely hesitation. Arthur, you have 5 seconds. Bring the show to a close with The Man on the Clapham Omnibus starting now.
Donut, donuts, donutting, donutting. Donut, Paul.
So, Paul, you challenged. Yes. It was singular, plural, and...
yes, no, it was fair enough.
A verbalising of
but, hadn't they sufficiently established the subject of the man on the Clapham Omnibus?
Well, I got the impression they were all eating donuts.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I think that's what he was leading to, because the other show he said he was psychic, so that's my psychic powers today. Arthur, you have 3 seconds. to bring the show to a close, and the Man on the Clapham Omnibus starting now.
What a pleasure it's been to be in Manchester. I must say.
And I'm sure we all echo that. Everybody loves coming to Manchester. We've had a wonderful Mancunian audience. And I have to tell you that there's no more time to play Just a Minute. That's a lovely, heartfelt response. I'm sure you'd like to hear the final score. Are you interested?
Yes.
I know the audience aren't, but our listeners are, so it is my duty and responsibility to tell you that they all gave their usual fine contribution. The points become secondary, but for those who are interested, Peter Jones only just finished in fourth place. He was only 1 point behind Clement Foyd and Arthur Smith, who were equal in second place. But just out in the lead, a few points ahead, was Paul Merton, so we say he is the winner this week. It only remains me to thank our four outstandingly humorous players of the game, Paul Merton, Arthur Smith, Clement Foyd and Peter Jones. Thank Elaine Wigley for keeping the score, blowing her whistle with such aplomb. We also thank Ian Messiter, who created the game, which we enjoy playing so much, and also Anne Jobson, who produced and directed the show. On behalf of them and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much. We do thank our Mancunian audience here at the Library Theatre. We've been a joy to be part of this music festival in here in Manchester, and also to our listeners for staying to the bitter end. And if you felt it was worth it, tune in again the next time we take to the air and we all play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us, goodbye. Goodbye.